Recently, I had the privilege of catching up with the legend Monty Roberts, who was visiting Melbourne for the Inglis Premier Yearling Sales at Oaklands Junction, selecting yearlings on behalf of a client. This is part two of our special interview with Monty, and we kick off the conversation by talking about the role he played in getting that rogue Pakistan Star in Hong Kong back to winning form.
I went to Hong Kong to work with Pakistan Star. And he stops in the middle of the race. And I was flying there on the airplane thinking, oh, God, I feel guilty. I'm going there to get a fee to tell them how to fix a horse that stops in the middle of the race. And I've never seen a horse do it before. I don't know what I'm talking about. And I got there. And 20 minutes into the session of training that I saw, I said to the trainer, Ray Charles could see what's going on with this horse. And he got very upset with me. But in 6 weeks, he won $4.5 million. And the change was, I was only there 2 days. But that's how far off we are.
So what was it that they were doing wrong in his training that led to those behavioural issues in the races?
Well, you see, it has to be a beautiful track and it has grass on it. So you can train that way, away from his house, and just stop up there and turn around and come back to his house, because the people don't see that part of the track. But you can't go around that turn and go through the finish line and then go home, because you'll mess up the turf. And I said, this horse wants to stop, whirl around and go back home rather than make the turn. Oh, well, the trainer said, the stewards will never let you take him around there anyway, you know. And I said, I guess I have to have a meeting with the stewards. This is the first day. I met the nicest man called Kim Kelly. He's a chief steward, Shot 10 Racing. And I drew on a napkin in the breakfast room what was wrong. And, of course, they have a little dirt thing out here and a nice big turf track over here. And I said, if he could just come around here and go on the dirt track, even at a trot, I don't care, and come down here and put a little gate here and let him go home. Boom. Round the turn he went, $4.5 million later. And then they gave him a month off or so. And I got an email from the veterinarian of the stable where he was, saying they went right back training him the way they did before and said, Monty Roberts doesn't know what he's talking about. And he stopped again. I mean, how do you help people? I can help horses way easier than people. Way easier. People are so entrenched in tradition. I was thrown out of the Hall of Fame, you know. I won 11 world championships in the Western world. 11 world championships. I was in the Hall of Fame for 30 years. And after my first book came out, they threw me out of the Hall of Fame.
Why?
I called and said, what did I do wrong? They said, you don't respect tradition. And I said, look, here, listen to me carefully. If I have to not improve anything, not move forward, not learn anything, in order to stay in your Hall of Fame, I don't want to be in that Hall of Fame. And I wish some of my friends weren't in there, because that's the wrong attitude to have. Well, that's what it is, and you're going to have to live with it. And they threw my horse out. My best horse was in the Hall of Fame with me. They threw him out.
So you've had your challenges along this journey, haven't you?
Come on. My life has been threatened hundreds of times. And they flew me out of three different places because the fix was on. I was going to be killed.
Why would someone want to do that?
Oh, you're making a mockery of every good horseman that ever lived. And you can say I'm wrong if you want, but you can't say my daddy was wrong. He was the greatest horseman ever. And the things he did, you're complaining that we shouldn't do to horses. You got to die. And you're going to die tomorrow night in Twin Falls, Idaho. And I'm going to shoot you. And he happened to be sitting in a car with this new thing they call a mobile phone. calling my hotel room to tell me this. And the man on the desk called the police, and they arrested him on the spot and took a screw together assault rifle out of the boot of his car. I was going to die the next night in Twin Falls, Idaho.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah. In Vancouver, way down in Brazil and Argentina, they were going to kill me there. Put me on television saying that I told the people to do this to the horse so that a video could be made, and then I could complain about the violence. We don't really do it this way here in Brazil. This is just, he set it up. It put me on, a television station said those things. So, yeah, I've had my challenges. Mm.
What's your perception of the Australian horse world, and in particular, our racing industry?
Well, first of all, let me give you the positives, because Australia has so far outrun any of the other racing countries. It isn't even comparable in terms of bringing the public into racing, in terms of making it more attractive to the general public walking on the street. I just give them so much credit. It is incredible. And when I first came down here, I bought Tobin Bronze down here for Charlie Whittingham and took him back to my farm in California and trained him there. And I got to know the people here, and I leased a farm in New Zealand, Alton Lodge Farm in the Waikato. And so I got really loving it down here because they had old staying mares, and we had speed in California, and I could retire a 1200 meter winning group one, like they didn't even have group races in those days, but top notch race in California, could bring him down here and cross him with these old mares and get some more speed in it. And I've watched Australia go from stayers to sprinters like crazy. They're built differently. They walk differently. They think differently. And it's all advanced into a more modern type racing industry, which I give them great credit for. And they're hospitable people. The Australians are hardworking people, and they're hospitable. They mean well. They look you in the eye. They talk to you like human beings should, not so much like city folk. And I know the cities are growing and things change, but Australia is still a bit old-fashioned in that term of being hospitable to one another. I just came from the sale, Inglis, and they were so hospitable, you can't believe it. They're just so nice, and they do things for everybody that they think might be a buyer, you know. And look at the excitement that they drew out of the general public at Inglis. I was very impressed. Mm. Those are all the positives. They just have to, in my opinion, Australia has to be very careful about integrity, making sure that people aren't doing things to the general public that the general public doesn't know about, that they have to be fair with the horses and with the people, and not maybe be quite as hard on horses at times, thinking, well, I got 10 of them. I'll go as fast as I can, and the best one will pay for the rest, you know? And there's some truth in that, but I'm on the side of the horses, and you can just count me on that. If I have a fault, it's to be too kind to them rather than to be demanding.
There's never been a bigger focus, which I'm sure you're very pleased about, on horse welfare, particularly in racing here in Australia. It's as high a focus as there's ever been. What are your views about that?
Well, of course, that's fantastic. And we just have to be careful that it's all well meant and properly done. For instance, let's ban all two-year-old racing. That would be so bad for the horses. Why? Horses shouldn't race when they're two. That's your decision. I say that if you ban two-year-old racing, then each farm would have to have individual paddocks for all the males. You couldn't run them in a group after puberty. You just couldn't do it. They'd be so bashed up you wouldn't get them to a sale. So then you would have two-year-old sales instead of yearling sales, because you've got to add a year to it. You can't ask the buyers to keep them for an extra year for nothing, you know, for to do nothing. So I say race your two-year-olds as much as you want to race them, so long as they're an A of their epiphyseal closures. Well, that would reduce two-year-old racing a lot. They can scan them now as they walk by in the saddling paddock, the mounting yard, you call it. You can scan them right there, boom. They're not an A, they don't race at two. And if they're an A, they're fully mature. Oh, well, when do they become an A then? Well, in our northern hemisphere, it's generally September, October that the two-year-old becomes an A. So you'd get rid of the two-year-old races in February, March, April, and May. That's for sure. There's just not enough A's. But you wouldn't want to race them when they're immature, would you? You love your horses. You wouldn't want to do that. That's my position. That's what I say at every meeting up there. And the trainers are against me. They want to go. You know, get it done. Boom, boom, boom. And if the growth plates are still immature, they're going to break down more often, and you might get one through too. I'm not saying that they break down 100%, but if it's an A, I say it's okay.
That was part two of our special feature interview with Monty Roberts. Part three next week, and we'll talk about the Grey Flash Chautauqua.